The podcast you are about to listen to is from St. Andrew's Park Circle. For more information about us, please visit standrewsparkcircle.com.
Good morning again. We are glad that you are with us this morning. You know, the church for thousands of years has been beginning its worship on Easter Sunday with those words, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And then everyone responds, the Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. It is a proclamation out into creation of the truth of the gospel and the beauty of our Lord Jesus. In January of 2007, a man named Joshua Bell, who perhaps you are familiar with if you're a fan of classical music, but maybe you're not. I certainly didn't recognize the name. He is a classical violin virtuoso, and he arrived in a subway station in Washington, D.C., and he took out a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin, and he started to play. He's played in opera houses and concert halls from Paris to New York to Sydney, and here he was in the Washington, D.C. subway station playing some of the most beautiful music that humanity has ever produced. The Washington Post actually funded this experiment, and they had some cameras set up because they wanted to see who in the morning rush hour would stop to notice this incredible event happening. Their cameras recorded that over 1,000 people walked by that morning, and only 7 stopped to listen. Easter can be like that for me. I'm so hurried. We have so much to do. There's so many plans to make, things to happen. It can just kind of get moving and like a boulder rolling down a hill and then just roll past us. And then we're midway through spring break next week and I finally come up for air. I don't know if that's like for you, but that's how Easter sometimes is for me. I seldom slow down. Yet, if we were to slow down, to allow the sediment of life to settle for a moment, I think that we would find ourselves exposed to the true story, a true story of tremendous beauty. And so we're going to take some time this morning and look at that from Scripture. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father, we would ask that you would now send your Spirit to, as Paul said, open the eyes, to enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we might know the beauty of your Son, Jesus. Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our foundation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at a piece of scripture today from Mark's gospel. You heard it read earlier. You can find it on page 801 if you would like to follow along. If you just want to sit and receive, that is absolutely fine also. Here's how this reading began. It says in verse 42 of chapter 15, "And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." Joseph of Arimathea is this first person that we meet in this resurrection story, and Mark's gospel, as well as other gospel writers, record that he is someone who is looking for the kingdom. He is looking for the kingdom, and that is a problem because over the last chapter of Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus, the king, is now dead. The soldiers mocked him, those who were with him mocked him, hail to the king, purple robes, crown of thorns, and now he is dead. Joseph of Arimathea, however, is still described as somebody who is looking for the kingdom. Sometimes the kingdom of God looks very, very different than what we expect. Joseph is looking for the kingdom. What are you looking for this morning? Is it the kingdom? Is it friendship? Is it restoration? Is it renewal? Is it revival? If you have a sense in your soul that things are not as they should be, if you long for a world that is just and set right, whether you recognize it or not, you are looking for the kingdom of God. And Joseph has a problem because the king of that kingdom is now dead. And like a hammer pounding nails into a piece of hard wood, Mark reminds us of that four times in two verses. Verse 44, Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when learning from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Joseph does what we all would do with something dead. He places it in a tomb. Mary Magdalene now, and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, arrive after the Sabbath, after the day of rest. Mosaic law and the law would have prohibited them from touching a dead body or working with a corpse on the Sabbath. And so they wait. And early in the morning, they buy the spices, they follow the rituals, they rest on the Sabbath. But they had to have been reeling along with Jesus' disciples for those 72 hours leading up to this. We know the end of the story, right? We proclaimed it as we came in this morning. They didn't. I mean, we live in the Bible Belt. You can't help but kind of bump into the Easter story every now and again in our culture. They did not. What the disciples knew, what the Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome knew, all they knew is that their friend who had the power to change the world was now dead. And dead things stay dead. And so they had to have been just on their heels, reeling in grief. And so they go, and they do what their culture asks. They bring spices. They try to figure out the logistics of how this big stone will be moved. Joseph was looking for the kingdom. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they're just looking to keep busy. What's the next step? What's the next appointment? Can we just get dinner on the table tonight? Have you ever been there? If I can just keep going, then maybe I don't have to worry about whatever this is over here. But things in verse 4 of chapter 16 start to change. What's it say? Verse 4. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Where had they been looking? We don't know. Mark doesn't tell us that. But Mark does add this incredible little note that they had to look up. They had to look up to see that the stone was rolled away. The stone had been rolled. A man was sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, saying to them in a voice that pierces history, "He is risen. He is not here. Alleluia. Christ is risen."
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Paul, one of the other New Testament writers, would say to this port city in Corinth, he would say this in chapter 15 of his letter, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture." This passage from Mark's gospel, it offers us that which is of first importance, that the grave is beaten, that love has triumphed. Here is the kingdom, Joseph. Here is the kingdom of God, is wherever the king reigns. The final enemy, death, has been conquered. And we are welcomed into that kingdom. Here is the kingdom, Joseph of Arimathea. Here's your hope, Mary. Not the daily playing out of customs and rituals, not the preparation of the dead, but of a new dawn of a resurrected Messiah. If that were it, if Mark just ends his gospel there, period, the end, listen, that would be enough. Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, became sin so that we might know the righteousness of God. If that was all of it, wouldn't that just be enough? But the beauty of the gospel is that there is actually more. That there is more. There is a glorious truth that rings true for them as much as it does for us today. This is Mark chapter 16, verse 7. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. There is a glorious truth that Christ desires to meet with his people. The angel tells Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James and Salome, to go. The resurrected and risen Christ is going before them, and that he will meet with them. Do you know that that is true for you today? That Christ desires to meet with you, that he goes before you. For each of the disciples, they experienced and witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and each of them lived the rest of their lives following after him wherever he would lead. If the resurrection of Jesus was some kind of fiction or some kind of farce or some kind of made-up story, that his followers would have fled. But history tells us a different story. History tells us that all of the disciples come to an end of their life that is brutal and hard and martyred. And they do so confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's risen. I know a lot of people that would go to great lengths if something is true. These disciples did. We want to approach Jesus on our own terms. We might be looking for the kingdom, but satisfied for it to remain without a king. Because if we have a king, then we have to make a choice. We want to approach Jesus on our own terms, that we might be looking with our heads down, caught up in the next task and the next busyness, buying the spice, the next thing to do, the stone to be moved. But Jesus desires to go before us and meet with us. And in the stillness, in the quiet of that first Easter morning, the beautiful story is played out that death does not reign. It is not the final word. There is light and there is life and there is hope and there is beauty. And these are not just metaphoric concepts. These are embodied in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that person, that Jesus Christ desires to meet with you this morning and tomorrow morning. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Will we be humble enough not to dictate the terms of that meeting? That if he is who he claims to be, that if his resurrection is a reality, if the inevitable beauty and invitation of truth, then will we meet him on his terms and not ours? My encouragement to you this morning is that while that might seem difficult, it might seem foreign, it might seem strange, hard, or odd, that it is in fact good and true and beautiful. Let me leave us with just two applications this morning. Here's the first one. If you're skeptical about all of this, then notice one thing with me. Notice the details in the writing that we get. Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of Salome, Mary, mother of James. We get details. We get names. As Mark was writing this, this is a subtle invitation to proof check his work. That if you want to, if you read this in the first century and you want to know if it's valid, you would go talk to Joseph of Arimathea. You would go talk to Mary, mother of James. You would go find Mary Magdalene, and you would hear with your own ears what they saw firsthand. Paul would say this in his writing to the church in Corinth, that Jesus appeared to 500 people. He says, most of them are still alive today, though some have fallen asleep. It's an invitation for these first century readers to go and check his work. And when we see that in history, when we see that in historic texts, we know that that's an invitation, that's a valid claim of truth. And so if you're skeptical about this, I understand. We live in a world where dead things stay dead, except when it comes to the gospel. If you're skeptical, read with me. We're a church that loves Scripture. We have a great reading plan that you can read through Scripture too. You can examine these things for yourself. So that's the first application. The first application is to read with me. Here's the second. Go meet with Jesus. He has gone before us into the hills and the valleys of our lives. He has gone before us and desires to meet with his people. And this happens in all kinds of ways and has been happening through thousands and thousands of years. Jesus has led his people out of the Middle East into Europe, across oceans to a port called Charlestown to establish a church called Christ Church in Mount Pleasant, which establishes a church called St. Andrew's Mount Pleasant, which sent us out, St. Andrew's here in Park Circle. We stand in a line of men and women and children who have been following after Jesus to meet with him wherever he would lead. My encouragement to you this Easter is to meet with Jesus. Over that quiet first cup of coffee in the morning, as the birds are singing outside, those late nights rocking a fussy child, in those times of stress, in those times of joy, meet with Jesus there and see how he has gone before you into all kinds of wondrous and sometimes difficult places. Will you meet with him? Will you see him? Will you pay attention like a classically trained violinist in a subway system in Washington, D.C.? Will we slow down long enough to notice the beautiful resurrected Christ desiring to meet with us? He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go meet with him there. Amen.